Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, alhamdulillah, everything is fine. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah. Is it morning still there by you?
Yes, yes. It's 11:30.
Okay, so
today we want to. Some people are having lunch right now.
Yes, when we were in Darul Ulum Zakaria, I think they still have it. So we used to have lunch on a Friday because we used to come out early sometimes. So it just depends. When Fajr gets earlier, then classes will start earlier and all of this here.
Right.
So because the days are longer. And we would see us having lunch at 10:30. Half past 10.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, but it was quite something, a different experience, alhamdulillah. And because after lunch, then you just want to, because the break is quite longer, so you can relax and rest. And then,
wow, okay.
But if you tell any South African you're having lunch at 10:30, they'll say you're crazy. That's like breakfast.
Or brunch. As we say in America, brunch. Late for breakfast, but early for lunch.
Yeah, we also have that. Brunch. But our brunch is more like 12 o'clock. Normally, 12 o'clock.
Okay.
So, yeah, so you incorporate both. Anyway, we want to discuss today. I saw you sent me that Valentine's article, and actually found it quite strange because normally this year is something that you wouldn't expect the Muslimin to be so involved in. But of course, times have changed. And maybe you could say before, because people weren't so aware and because of our schools and everything. But I can speak here for South Africa. There's a lot of warnings that have been given, ulama, ayad, and this is something that you can't say there's difference of opinion or this, Mulana has a difference of opinion on this particular matter. Generally, most will say that it's baseless and it's useless, it's kuffar style, and all of the zina is mentioned in that article. Mufti Saab, you can share with us. The first question I would actually want to ask is, before embracing Islam, your thoughts on Valentine's Day and then coming into Islam, what you witnessed yourself and Muslims around you as well?
Well, before Islam, no Muslim would nobody that I knew that was Muslim would celebrate anything like this, not even jokingly. This is, you know, it's like one of the most popular holidays in America. So when you're in like primary school, okay, we have, obviously you have a mixed class, right? Boys and girls, and the teacher assigns, sometimes the teacher will assign, or sometimes they'll ask you, do you want to pick somebody in your class to be your Valentine for the day? Okay. And then, you know, getting older and becoming Muslim at the age of 19, then I look at other people celebrating it, but I had no attachment to it. Coming to Pakistan 30 years ago, you didn't see it at all. But in the last 10 years, though, you're starting to see shops selling roses and maybe advertisements in newspapers and what have you. But not pretty much low-key. But last year, it really got bad. Saudi is even worse. So it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. Whether you're Brelvi or whether you're the Salafi or whether you're Hanafi, doesn't matter. Everybody can agree that this thing is haram, but yet it is catching on like the fires in California. Mm. Everybody's involved with it. It's got nothing to do with religion anymore.
Mm. We were in a non-Muslim school, so they would have these sales, and sometimes they would be really pushy in the sense where you would have to buy some rose or something like that. But of course, we were like, what is this? This is has no basis. And I'm not saying that at that particular time we were all Dini or at that time. But still, at least that much you knew that this year is, it's totally baseless. But you're finding, as you've said, things are changing. Saudi is changing. And Valentine's Day in Muslim countries now has become a norm. Well, like we could say about so many other kuffar practices, which is more dangerous than Valentine's Day and the rest, like you're seeing alcohol becoming common in certain in Islamic Muslim countries. Well, you have to ask. Yes,
it's sad because a lot of this brought back to like Pakistan and Muslim countries is brought here by people who left the country and went to America or England or some other non-Muslim country and enjoyed themselves, whether working there for some time or going there in university and bringing this thing back. So people became aware of it. And now with the internet, it's even worse. Okay, so now Muslims can find out about it. But I talked to people here, okay, and who hadn't studied in madrasa or anything like that. And they thought, oh, there's nothing wrong with celebrating Valentine's Day. It only means love, okay? And so, like, a Valentine's Day card to my mother, okay, or giving roses to my mother, okay, like that. I said, brother, no, this is Valentine's Day is not love to your mother, okay? You got it all wrong. All right, they just understand the concept of love, okay, and in relationship, and they only understand, well, relationship means, you know, marriage or family. So there's nothing wrong with sending a Valentine's Day card, you know, or buying roses, you know, for your mother or your sister that, or aunt or something. No, brother, you got it all wrong. Okay, you can't change this thing. People try to change Christmas, okay, and say, well, you know, Isa alayhi salam was a prophet, okay, and we celebrate Eid Milad al-Nabi, okay, Prophet Muhammad's also a birthday, all right? And so why can't we celebrate Christmas? Mm. Okay. These are alhamdulillah, this is from not ulama. I haven't heard an alim say that yet. Mm. Okay. But this is the type of stuff that you hear from the common people because they don't understand the full thing.
Mm. And like you said, for parents and for aunts, now this I have heard, and I've heard it in many, it's become like common now. So Muslims who are well, they read Salah, they do everything. So they say, okay, Valentine's Day, I'm not going to do haram on this day and go purchase for a girlfriend or some haram relations or anything. But rather, I'm going to do it for my wife. I'm going to make it a romantic moment, you know, make the house all red and decorate the bathroom or do something of that sort. So still too, it's emulating the kuffar. مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a nation is from them. A narration of Abu Dawood. So this is also a way that they try to... It's like, you know, we don't have this... and that's what... It just makes me sad that we do not have this confidence. It's like we suffer from this inferiority complex. We've got to keep on matching the kuffar in what they do, whereas they're supposed to be matching us, and they're supposed to be seeking, right, trying to see, hey, these people are doing this.
We try to make every haram thing, forget about makruh tahrimi, we try to make every haram thing halal, okay? So here's the thing, you're trying to make a pig halal by slaughtering it, by cutting the throat, all right, and cutting the four veins. And it doesn't work that way. So whether it's Christmas or whether it's Valentine's Day, we have Muslim Olympics now, okay? okay, you know? And what was the Olympics all about? You know, honoring the chief god Zeus, you know, and making dua to Nike that Nike will, who is the goddess of victory, will give you victory. So we have Muslim Olympics now, where Muslim countries compete against each other, and cities within countries compete against each other with different sporting events. Okay, like that. So it's sad, my brother. It's sad. We're regressing. Mm-hmm. But it's exactly what the Prophet Solomon said, that every generation will be worse than the one that came before it until Qiyamah. So it's expected. Mm.
The treasury here is, and we must say it as well, that when we see the Saudi flag, we see the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. And we see it being desecrated in so many ways. On my screen currently, as I'm looking at it now, so they've got some, it says Valentine's Day, and they will put a red flag or something red in front of the kalima. This year is open desecration of the kalima, la ilaha illallah. And if you're going to do all of this, then remove the kalima from your flag. There's no need for it to be there when people are stamping on it and taking it to football matches and doing all these things. This is openly violating. And, you know, Hakimul Ummah, he had a beautiful principle in tafsir of when he used to do tafsir of the Quran Sharif. So like the verse, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ Surah Al-Hashr. Do not become like those people who forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget themselves. So in this verse, Hakimul Ummah, he's filled with wisdom. So he says, in this verse is our remedy. And you think to yourself, how is there remedy in this? Because the verse is saying, do not become like those who forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget themselves. This is something we should stay away from. So he says, apply it in the opposite way. And there's a saying in Arabic that al-ashya'u tu'arafu bi-azdadiha, that opposites or things become known and understood by its opposites.
So,
in the verse here, it's saying, do not become like those who forgot Allah. So you must become like those, the opposite is, to remember Allah. And in this here, so if you take the verse and if you apply this principle of Hakimul Ummah, and you look at the verse of verse 32 of Surah Al-Hajj, that's chapter 22. وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ That whoever sanctifies the symbols of Allah, then this emanates to the taqwa of the hearts. So if you do not, take the opposite meaning now. If you do not, then what's that a result of? And this is exactly what we are seeing. When we go to Saudi and we want to go to the Rawda Mubarakah and you want to sit, you want to convey your salams, and you want to do it because, you know, you don't get that opportunity always. So sometimes people, our people, they're looking in the kitab because they don't know the dua. So these security guards, they will say, Sheikh, ya bida, 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 and push them away and this and that. Meantime, they all just, you do get those. I'm not saying you don't get those who go into a different world and I don't know what happens to them. But in this particular sense, bid'ah there, but when you are desecrating and doing so much of haram on so many levels, then how then do we reconcile all of this?
I think they had the Olympics a couple of times when I was in America before I came here, and they had McDonald's was a sponsor of the Olympics. And they would put the flags of every country on the cups for Coca-Cola when they were drinking Coca-Cola or whatever beverage you were drinking from there. And the Saudi flag was on there. Hmm. Okay. And people, obviously, after you finish your drink, what do you do with it? You throw it in the trash. So Maulana Desai, he wrote to Saudi. Okay, and told him, listen, you should change your flag, okay, because this is what the kuffar are doing with it. And they responded to him, and, you know, like, you know, they don't tell us what to do. This is our flag, and we're not concerned about this and this and this and this and that. So for a long time, I don't get too excited when I see the flag of Saudi. Okay? Yes, I get excited when I see the Kalima. But when I see the Kalima on this flag of Saudi, I don't get excited because of the way they disrespect it.
There is this article says here, this was posted just yesterday, that five countries amongst those which do not celebrate Valentine's Day. Amongst them is Uzbekistan, Indonesia, Iran. So they say Iran is an Islamic nation run by religious leaders. We say Shias are not Muslims, and you cannot say this. This is totally incorrect. But of course, what do non-Muslims know about all of this here?
Right.
And but Iran, it's banned. And Mufti Saab, number five. So we've got here, Saudi is amongst these here. So I don't know if it's like a law or something of that sort.
Yeah, maybe it must be old, because it's been allowed since 2018.
Yeah, and this is probably incorrect, because it says here yesterday this article was posted. But number five here, they've got Pakistan. They say...
Yeah, okay, maybe officially on paper. On paper, the Constitution or, yes, you know, whatever law may say that it's banned. But in practice, no, it's clear people get involved. And remember, not everybody in this country is Muslim. All right. There's a big Christian population here also. It's jais for them. I mean, this is where it started from. It started from their religion. So you can't ban it for them.
I'd just like to read out here. It says, Pakistan is home to the world's second largest Muslim population. It has conflicting sentiments about Valentine's Day. As the popularity of Valentine's Day among the younger generation grows, multiple riots have broken out in the country to condemn this celebration. In this portion here, a private citizen petitioned the High Court of Islamabad to get the day banned. And finally, on the 7th of February 2018, the Islamabad High Court prohibited Valentine's Day celebrations as well as media coverage, citing a Western cultural import that opposed Islamic teachings. So this may have changed also, because that was in 2018.
The people love it over here. So anything to celebrate. Okay, anything to celebrate. We're looking for a party all the time.
Yes.
Okay, there's so many holidays here from these different saints, you know, who are the saint of this one and the saint of that one. So it'll be a holiday in that particular province. You know, and we love holidays here.
Yeah.
We don't want to work.
Yeah, even here in South Africa, there's all different. Every year we get a new holiday. We're happy, we can't complain about that, because for us, it's a day off work. But for those who, if you see, it's just passing of time, so it's a wastage of time. And you're saying, as you've said, it's just to celebrate, it's just to use it to do more haram. So then in that case, there's no justifications for that. And these particular celebrations as well, when you see Muslims wishing others, you know, for these, like Christmas and all of this year, it's just astounding to see it, or rather brutally something that we should stay away from. I'm just seeing here, Roman romantics. This was the history, the dark origins of Valentine's Day. And whoever wants to search it, they can search it. Just type in the dark origins of Valentine's Day. So from February the 13th to the 15th, the Romans, they celebrated the feast of a particular person called Lupercalia. So the man sacrificed a goat and a dog, then whipped women with the hides of the animals they had just slain. So the Roman romantics, they were drunk, they were naked. And Noel Lenski, And he is a religious studies professor and at Yale University. He told this particular website, which is NPR, he said in 2011, young women would line up for the men to hit them. Lenski said they believe this would make them fertile.
Hey, what to do? Yeah, so the Prophet ﷺ said that we would follow the Christians and the Jews, right, even into the hole of a lizard, right? So what did the Jews tell Umar radiallahu ta'ala? That if we had a verse in the Torah like you have in the Quran, we would have made it a holiday. And he said, which one? It's the last ayat of the Quran that says that today I perfected your religion for you and chosen Islam for you as religion. So I was sad, Mufti Zahir Ali, rahmatullah alayh, he said, the Brahvis are just like the Jews, okay? And the other Bidati groups are just like the Jews, that when there is some sort of a good thing in the deen, that the deen has not prescribed a holiday for, they will try to make a holiday for. So he mentioned Eid Milad al-Nabi by the Brahvis. Okay, that the Prophet ﷺ was born, that was a great thing, but to make it a holiday, okay, is just like what the Jews were talking about when to Umar radiallahu anhu. Okay, Christmas, change it to make it halal. Valentine's Day, we just change it to make it halal. All
right. And you've said also previously that, just speaking on this lastly to end, it's you've mentioned previously that Pakistan, they opened those, so they're trying to get the youth off drinking alcohol, or at least instead of drinking alcohol, and I don't know how rife and rampant is alcohol in Pakistan, but what I understood is to get them off it, and I read the article and everything, where they built this store and they made it look like a bar, but they're just selling normal drinks. But they said just to give the atmosphere so that we don't, our youth can have a safe place to drink things that are so-called permissible. But it then goes back to that inferiority complex.
Yeah, and the weakness of our ulama to stay strong on the anti-alcohol being haram. Okay, when you say that, the real khamr is only that is which is from grapes or dates, okay, which Abu Hanifa has said, and you get away from the call of Imam Muhammad, who said, no, everything that intoxicates is khamr, so it's all haram. When you change that fatwa, so now it's okay to drink something that is made from real alcohol, like rum. Rum is very popular. To drink rum and coke is very popular. Okay, and rum is made from sugarcane. So technically, it's not khamr. Right? So when they found out that for all those years, Maulana Desai was saying, no, there is alcohol in Coca-Cola. There is alcohol in Coca-Cola. Right? Finally, it's proven that it is there. But the answer is, but it's not from grapes or dates, so therefore it's not khamr, so you can drink it. All right. So now other things are starting to come. Okay, so yeah, this is why. If we have been strong like we've been for 1,300 years, you couldn't have a bar that, you know, has that type of drink. So you wouldn't have that type of establishment or business.
Exactly. Mufti Saab, we've come to the end of our program. Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullah Khairan for joining us. Make dua for us as well. And yes.
Inshallah.
We'll meet you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum
assalam. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.